Grace, mercy, and peace to you, the baptized, the people of our Almighty God, from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whom John the Baptist proclaimed. Amen. A word of comfort from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Thus far the word of the Lord. What a happy time of year, dear friends of Christ. Advent, Christmas, sights and sounds of the season, choirs singing, Christmas specials, lights and trees and all the festivities. What a happy time of year. And yet, what do they say? For so many, this is a very depressing time of year. There's something somehow a little shallow when you don't have God. For them, a depressing time of year. And so as we hear Isaiah's words, we might ask the question this morning, dear friends, where do you get your comfort from this time of year? Or any time of year, where do you get your comfort from? Well, there's lots of options out there, we know. Some go to the bottle. Some go to pills. Some go to bed. And they sleep it all away. Some call the helpline. Some run away. Can't face it. Some turn on the loud rap music and drown everything out in noise and sound. One man told me, a couple of years ago, Pastor, I go to my people. I go to my people. I go to my house. I go to my church. That's where I go when I need comfort. That's where the people of comfort are, right? And what a wonderful answer, dear friends. My daughter Adrian, who was studying in London a couple of years ago, called me up one day and said, Poppy, I miss my church. The people here are all atheists. And the young adults my age, they're all unbelievers. And it's so sad. I miss my church, she said. I miss my church. I miss my people. For that's my comfort place. And it should be, shouldn't it? This should be our comfort place, dear friends. And when someone walks in, they should be comforted by the smiling, joyful people of God. This is our comfort place. But friends of Christ, as we reflect on the context of Isaiah and all the prophets, what if suddenly your church was gone? Gone. Taken away from you. What would you do? Some might say, yay, more time to sleep in. More time for the world's buffet line and its activities. Others would say, oh, horror of horrors, this is terrible for the foundation, the very foundation of my entire life is the house of God, its word, its sacraments, its wonderful, wonderful news. What a horrible thing. Friends of Christ, how would you react if your church was gone? Erased. You see, that's what God was trying to get through to the people, through prophets like Isaiah. If you don't return to me, your church will be gone one day. If you don't return to me, I'll take it away. And there will be no word. And no God in your presence. I'll take it away. And yes, indeed, the armies of Babylon came. They came, dear friends, and they took it all away. They took it all away because the people didn't need God anymore. The people didn't need His word and His house anymore. The prophet Ezekiel spoke of that day. The prophet Ezekiel said, behold, I saw the glory of the Lord leave His temple. I saw God leave. What a horrible moment.
And yes, the armies of Babylon came.
And they took the people away from home, away from their city, their temple, their church. And then, dear friends, picking up on things, they like to rub some salt into the wounds of their captors. And so guess what they did? They started making fun of the Israelites. They started making fun of them. They started mocking them. "Hey, you people of Zion," they said, "you people of the Most High, play for us some of your church music, you know, to entertain us." That's what they said to the Israelites. "Entertain us with your church music. A lot of good it did you." And hearing that, dear friends, the Israelites were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. And they wept when they realized what they had thrown away. They wept and they cried when they realized that they abandoned God and His house, what they had given up. And it was at that moment, though, that something amazing began to take place. There was a turning that happened in their hearts. John the Baptist called it repentance. There was a turning that happened in their hearts. For John thundered from the banks of the Jordan, calling the people back to God, His word, His house. The Israelites began to return. And realizing what they had lost, and faith beginning to kindle again, they stood up to the Babylonians in that moment. And they said, "No, we're not going. We're not going to do that. We are not going to entertain you with our church music. Rather, we're going to confess the name of the Lord." And they went out and they wrote psalms. Psalms like 137. "By the waters of Babylon, we wept," they wrote, "when we remembered Zion, our church." Oh, friends of Christ, the point of it all, isn't it funny how suddenly things become important to us after we've lost them? Don't take for granted the blessings of God. Do not take for granted your spouse. Do not take for granted your children. Do not take for granted your family. Do not take for granted your baptism, your Bible, the living word. Do not take for granted God's house. Do not take for granted the holy things of God that take you to amazing places. The Israelites did. And they lost it all. But friends of Christ, we know who God really is. He's not a God who delights in sending armies to Israel. He doesn't delight in punishing people. The confessions say that's His alien work. The law is His alien work. No, what God really delights in is blessing His people. He delights in blessing them and in renewing them, in forgiving and absolving them. And so He came to Isaiah and said, "I have another people, another message for the people through you. A message of joy, a message of restoration, a message of hope. I have another message that you need to deliver them, the message of the gospel, His proper work. Isaiah, tell the people a message of comfort. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell them that their warfare is over. Tell them that their iniquity is paid for." This is the message, dear friends, that God delights in. This is the work that He loves to do, bringing newness to the people, recovery, renewal to the land. This is what God loves to do: pardon and forgive and restore and rebuild. "For He told them, I will rebuild you." To the very people who threw His church away, "I'm going to give you another one." To the very people who threw His holy city away, "I'm going to rebuild your walls. You'll have another day, a new day. It's coming, a forgiveness and pardon and peace and joy. That day is coming. Comfort them, Isaiah." But you see, that's who God really is, dear friends. That's what He really delights in. He delights in comforting His people. And as we look into the Bible, we see it everywhere. From beginning to end, we see God comforting His people. To weeping Hannah. He said, Hannah, I've heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. Trust me. Be happy, Hannah. To defeated David being chased by enemies. He said, don't worry, son. I got your back. I will put away your enemies and you'll stand strong again. And to Elijah, sitting in a cave, sulking, defeated and destroyed, God came to him and said, stand up, Elijah, eat and drink and go out again, for the Lord your God is with you. And God strengthened him. And Elijah went forth in the strength of the Lord. And to the worried centurion, Jesus said, go home, your servant is well. And joy and comfort and peace overcame that captain of the army. And to the woman, the adulteress, caught, people standing there with stones in their hands. I forgive you, Jesus said. I forgive you. Go sin no more. And the stones were dropped. And joy overcame the woman. Comfort filled her soul. And from the cross, Jesus said it. He said it, he screamed it out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Father did just that. He forgave the world. He justified it in the blood of his Son. He redeemed it. He took it back again. Comfort is what God is about. And he will come to comfort you in your life. Comfort. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is a God of comfort, and he delights in comforting and restoring and forgiving and renewing and rebuilding. God was smiling on Israel again. Robert Louis Stevenson speaks of just such an account, a smiling moment. It took place one dark night when a ship was in danger. A mighty gale had hit and it drove the ship into the rocky coastline, and it was in danger of hitting the rocks and sinking. All of its passengers drowning. It was a horrible moment, a frightening moment. And all the passengers, they were below deck, huddled together, filled with fear, filled with discouragement. And they were ordered not to come on deck, for they knew tonight was the night they die in the icy waters. But then all at once, a brave man defied the orders. He broke the ranks and he made his way outside, climbed his way through the horrible gale, the driving wind, the driving rain, the storm. And he made his way slowly up to the pilot house. I've got to see what the pilot is doing. And finally he arrived at his destination and he looked in, and there he saw the pilot of the ship, and he was focused on the storm. He was focused on the wave, on the waves and the wind and the gales. And his hands were tightly clenched on the wheel that steered the ship. And all at once, the pilot, he realized he was being watched. And so he looked up, and there he saw the passenger looking at him with frightened face, worried eyes. And it was then that the pilot gave him a nod. And a great big smile, and said to him, don't worry, I've got the wheel, everything's fine, all is well. Joy came over the passenger, comfort filled his heart. He ran down below deck and he shared the news with everyone that was there. We're in good hands, he said, the pilot is steering us, everything's fine, all is well. And he's smiling. The passengers, they all cheered as comfort filled their hearts. Don't you know, dear friends, the pilot has your life in his hands. He's steering your life through the storms, through the rocky coastlines, through the treacherous seas. God knows what you don't know. God sees what we don't see. Fortunately, he has that wheel. And he's piloting us to the wonderful land above. So do not worry. Comfort, comfort, my people. Isaiah the prophet said, speak tenderly to them. And the Israelites heard. And soon the day came when they would rebuild the walls and restore the church. And for us, dear friends, it's the bathrooms. It's a project we have. A project the church has to begin moving things forward. Christine will talk about it. And it begins with prayer. And it begins with people who are comforted, rebuilding the walls. So let us go forth in the power of our washings, in the power of our baptisms. For we are the people of comfort. Yes, indeed. Where do you go for your comfort, dear friends? I go to the house of the Lord. I go to his mighty word. I go to his living waters. I go to his promises. Where do you go for comfort? I go to the Lord, my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. We invite the congregation to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds forever in him, the Lord our God, the Lord of comfort. Amen.